I think that should be good. All right. So here's the deal. You should probably grab out your bulletin right now, because this is about that time where you guys know announcements are coming. So wave it up. If yours look like it got folded twice, like mine did, it's because we let little kids fold this morning and then we learned our lesson. So, so there you go. That's our gift to you today. There's also some really great material on the inside. Would you just please read it? There's a lot of things kicking off in some place and areas in which you guys can help and be a part of our ministries going on. And so just be looking at that. Hey, if you came in and you were confused about the coffee bar this morning and trying to figure out what's going on, hey, we're just always trying new different things. We realize that Keurigs are actually pretty expensive. And so we found this really cool company called Feed My Starving Children. And this company makes coffee beans. And basically what they do is every time you buy a packet from them, you're actually buying 33 meals for people around the world. And so we thought, hey, that's a great opportunity for us to actually have coffee with a purpose instead of just being our own coffee, our own caffeine fix. And so if you liked the coffee, would you please come and talk to me, and so I'll figure out what to be able to do, where to serve it, all that sort of stuff. And so just be patient with us as we go through all of that sort of stuff. I only have a couple announcements, and then I'll turn it over to you guys for announcements. The first one is this, is that, hey, you guys did a great job of stepping up. All of our Awana dinners are filled right now, and so that's a great ministry that we have going on. So I just want to say thank you as my first announcement. And then the second one is, if you are still interested in baptism, at the end of this month on the 27th, we are going to be doing a baptism. Baptism. Wow, that sounded weird. Baptism. And it's going to be at Richard and Carrie's house, a great place to be able to just have intimate time with the family and celebrate the fact that people are taking the next step in their faith. And so if you haven't come talk to me or to Brian or to Terry and still want to do that, would you please just come and talk to one of us, and we'll get you on the list, and we'll be calling you and saying, hey, this is what baptism is about and all of that. And if you'll notice, you can start preparing. We're going to be having a potluck. Hey, we're providing all of the meat, and so you just have to bring a salad, and we'll be good to go with that. So, also, the last announcement that I have is this, is starting tomorrow night, Calvary Baptist is just having a little VBS from 6 to 10 for kindergartners through sixth graders. And so, if you have an age group from them, hey, go over there, help them out, meet the new pastor, all that sort of stuff. Okay, are there any other announcements that you guys have for me this morning?
Amy Fast here. I have been filling in as a volunteer secretary at the church for a while here, and I've sent a lot of emails, and one of them recently was about the baby showers. It's something that I've been, it's been in my heart for lots of years, and I hope most of you got that, how we're changing things up a little bit. If you did not get that email, and that means you're not on our church email list, which is one of the ways that we do a ton of communicating, please come see me or Seth, or randomly put your name and email address on a piece of paper and shove it in the office, because I would love for you to get all of the emails that come from the church. But the other piece is that with that baby shower email is we're just going to change it to doing two a year, and it is for moms that are... Maybe, like, I have three daughters. Let's say I move to Glasgow, Montana now, and my husband and I, we end up having another child. Well, that child would be our first baby born here at this church. And so if it is your first baby born at our church, we throw a shower for you. And so the idea is that I was doing, I don't know, 4 to 5 a year, and it's been 10 years that I've been doing them. I'm a little burnt out on that. And so we're going to just change it to twice a year and kind of do a mass shower and love on the ladies that have had babies within 6 months. So anyways, if you have questions about that, see me. We're going to do a general gift for the babies and the mamas. And so it'll actually be a lot cheaper for those of you that come to all of the showers over the past how many years. But we do need to raise some money to be able to throw our first one coming at September. And so if you would like to give towards that, see me or Seth, and I can tell you how to do that. You can also just put a check in the offering, but make sure in the memo you would write baby shower on it. And Seth, you know more. Am I missing anything?
No,
is that the general idea?
You got it covered.
So if you didn't get an email, get in touch with us, because that's how we do a lot of communicating around here. So thank you.
As a family, every week we not only come together to worship, but we come together to pray, because we know that it takes a body, and we are the body of Christ, and so we are concerned about one another, and we love one another. And so, man, there are a lot of things that go on during the week, and we just ask that you'd be willing to be a part of that. And so every week we come and share in prayer. And so the first thing that I have for you is that Tabitha Brandt right now is in the ER, so we don't know for what or anything like that, but if you guys would just, we'll be praying for her. And if you are a friend of hers, if you just want to send a text message later on and just say, hey, how you doing, she would love that. Are there any other prayer requests this morning that we have? If you do, just shoot your hand up and we'll get you.
Yeah, Pat Henderson. I'd just like to have the congregation pray for Richard and Carrie Weens as they travel to Billings for her surgery and if they come back home safely. Thank you.
Right over here, Dan.
Good morning, Rob Zeliff. Wanted to thank you for the prayers when our nephew passed 2 weeks ago. And if we could just keep the Miller family, particularly Wes and Sheila, are the parents of Thomas and Caitlin. They start school, I think, next week in Nashua, and it's going to be a really tough time for them. So if you keep them in your prayers and our families, we appreciate it. Thanks.
All right, Mary.
Mary Campbell. It's time for the weekly Zoe update. If everybody's just anxious to know. She's probably going to end up having the baby this week, but our big concern now, and I know she's worried about it too, is trying to manage her sugars while she's in labor. She doesn't really want to be put like on a insulin drip. She'd rather just use her pump and try to keep on top of things. And so that is a little scary for all of us. So if you guys could just remember to pray for her this week. Thanks.
Absolutely. All right, would you guys pray with me? God, you really are God and we are not. You hold everything together. You amaze us with things like meteor showers and stars and vast amounts of water and wildlife and people. I mean, just your creation in and of itself. The fact that you would create us in your image and breathe life into us and desire a relationship with us, Lord, just blows my mind. And so, God, especially this morning, would we give you the praise that you are due? That, God, we would understand your Son, the gift of life that he gave to us, that we could walk in newness because of him, that he would show us how to live and how to operate, and that without him, we are nothing. God, we thank you for that sacrifice. God, we ask that your Holy Spirit would just guide and direct us every single day, that in the midst of all of our worries and our anxieties, our fears, our joys, our happiness, we would realize that it's from you, that this life is from you, and that we can lean on you and be directed by you. And so would your Holy Spirit well up into us in prayer of thanksgiving, prayer of need, and that we would see ourselves in you and know that you take care of all things. And so God, with surgery this week with the Weenses, and especially Carrie, Lord, I just pray that that would go well, and that she would be comforted, and that she'd be back up and doing well shortly. Lord, in new life coming with Zoe, Lord, I would just pray that you would help them be vigilant and watching, and that they would know you're with them, which is the exact same thing as also in death with the Miller family, Lord, that you would cover them, that you would watch over them, and that they would be drawn closer to you, and that they could realize their hope, their peace is in you. God, be with Tabitha right now as they're sorting things out with her. Help her to be patient. Help her to trust. And Lord, this is your church. And we want to follow you, and we want to be disciples of you. And so God, help us to know you more. And in that knowing, we then love one another well. God, we thank you for the gifts you give us. And Lord, as we are about to take offering, Lord, I just pray that you would help our church to see where you're asking us to go, that we'd be led by your Holy Spirit. God, we thank you and praise you. In your holy name we pray, amen. I'm gonna ask the ushers to come forward, and we'll take our morning's offerings, and the worship team will lead us in some worship, and they'll ask us to stand when they're ready. Thanks. Thank you.
nice old hymn, like that one. We're going to kick it up a little bit, singing about the days of Elijah.
These are the days of great trials, of doubt. listen, Jesus is calling. Have you come to the end of yourself? Do you thirst for a drink from the well? Jesus is calling. Come to the altar. The Father's arms are open wide. Forgiveness was bought with the precious blood of Jesus Christ.
Sinners. And right now, Lord, I pray that each one of us, as we're sitting here, we're singing these words and letting them sink deep down, Lord, that we would have a conversation with you, that we would look deep down in our heart. Lord, what sins are we holding on to that we need to come to your altar for, to ask for forgiveness? Lord, I don't want to think about Susie down the street or the person sitting right next to me, but in my own heart. Even the things that we might not think are that big. Did I lose my patience this week? Did I tell a white lie? Was I unloving? Jesus, you've called us to become like you. So God, I just pray that we take a second to really reflect on what you're asking us to do, how you're calling us to step out, to get rid of that sin in our life this week.
Sing hallelujah.
gave us forgiveness, and you died on the cross for our sins. Amen.
Amen.
Hey, the kids can be dismissed for their children's church, so go have fun out there. If you have brought your Bibles this morning, open it up to Matthew chapter 26. Matthew chapter 26. So I have this story that's, before we read this, that's been just killing me this morning, because yesterday I did a funeral for Leith Wimmer, and Jay wrote a note about a story about Leith's life, and one of the stories was that Leith used to go into the jails, and or the jail, we don't have multiple jails, the jail here in town, and he would share his faith with people, and one night he decided that they were going to sing hymns. And so he started singing a hymn, and about halfway through the hymn, they heard a prisoner in the very far back going, "Give us the chair! Give us the chair!" And then I was singing into my daughter's ears, and I'm like, "Oh, sorry, girlfriend. I do not have a good voice. That's why I love listening to the rest of you guys. And so thank you for singing, but..." Give us the chair. Wow. Okay. Hey, let's get into it. We're going to read Matthew 26, and we've been going through together through the Gospels. Hey, what does the Gospels ask us to live our lives in? What does the Gospel maybe move us towards? You know, we look at Scripture, and we know who Jesus is. He's the Savior of the world. He brings us so that we can have a relationship with God, and he helps us become the next step and show us how to live. But really, do we know the things that Jesus talks about? And so we're going to be going through Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John until the end of the year. But this week is the last week in Matthew, and you may look at this and go, well, what do we learn from Jesus in this scripture? Because we're going to be reading verses 36 through 46. And this is where Jesus is sitting in the Garden of Gethsemane with his disciples before he's taken away. And so let's read this together. Then Jesus went with them to the olive grove called Gethsemane. And he said, by the way, are they up there? You what? The mouse died. Awesome. Sweet. Well, then you guys just get to listen to me read. Here we go. Then Jesus went with them to the olive grove called Gethsemane, and he said, sit here while I go over there to pray. He said to Peter and Zebedee's two sons, James and John, and he became anguished and distressed. He told them, my soul is crushed with grief to the point of death. Stay here and keep watch with me. He went on a little further and bowed with his face to the ground, praying, my Father, if it is possible, let this cup of suffering be taken away from me. Yet I want your will to be done, not mine. Then he returned to the disciples and found them asleep. He said to Peter, couldn't you watch with me even 1 hour? Keep watch and pray so that you will not give in to temptation, for the spirit is willing, but the body is weak. Then Jesus left them a second time and prayed, my Father, if this cup cannot be taken away unless I drink it, your will be done. When he returned to them again, he found them sleeping, for they couldn't keep their eyes open. So he went to pray a third time, saying the same thing again. Then he came to his disciples and said, go ahead and sleep. Have your rest. But look, the time has come. The Son of Man is betrayed into the hands of sinners. Up, let's be going. Look, my betrayer is here. Let's pray. Hey God, as we look into your scripture this morning, would we realize that these are your words that have the power to move nations, to move mountains, to change hearts, to bring us closer to you and to guide and direct our lives. And so this morning, as we unpack this scripture, Lord, I would pray that we would be attentive to your Holy Spirit. I just know that we need you every single day. We need you to guide us and direct us to make us through life, to make it through life. God, we thank you. In your holy name we pray. Amen. I think it's one of the most often common phrases that we hear in the church world really is, hey, what is God doing, or what is the will of God? Over and over again. I think people sit there. I mean, you hear lots of phrases. If God closes one door, another one opens, or he opens a window, or all of these things. Or sometimes we even put sayings to God that may or may not be true, right? And we constantly are sitting here going, what's the will of God? What does God want for my life? I don't know about you, but there were many times in my life where I wondered what I was doing and if God had a plan for my life. What was the perfect job? Where was the perfect woman? In fact, actually, I wore this shirt that I remember was this guy on a lamppost, right? And it was a skeleton, and he was leaning against the lamppost, and he had a sign that said, waiting for the perfect woman, to remind me that there is no perfect woman, by the way. You should be laughing at that. You're perfect, Virginia. What about am I going to have the perfect kids? Or what about the right car am I supposed to drive? Do I give this amount of money or do not? Do I spend my time doing this event or that idea that I might be having? And it boils down to, what is the will of God? I even, in fact, remember a lot of the kids that have gone through my youth group remember this story, but I remember multiple times. I grew up in Billings, and so we had these amazing things called the rims. And so I remember sitting on the rims after dating a girl for 7 years, and then she broke up with me when I was a sophomore in college, right? You can do the math and figure out when we started dating, but broke up with me when I was a sophomore in college. And literally for the next little while, I remember multiple nights, me and my friends going up to the rims, and I would just kind of sit there with my feet dangling over, just going, what am I supposed to be doing, right? Like, you're in college now, you're supposed to know what you're doing, or you're supposed to be getting your life together so that you can find that girlfriend, so that your mom stops hounding you about, hey, do you have a girlfriend yet, or all of those things, or have you chosen what to do so you're not wasting our money anymore, all of that. And I remember one night, this just was crazy to me, my friend looked over at me and he says, have you ever thought about, instead of looking for the perfect woman, maybe you should ask God to make you the perfect man so that you can be the right man for the woman that comes along? And I looked at him and I said, that's crazy talk. I'm an amazing catch. Any woman would love to be with me. In which he literally started naming off a whole bunch of things that were wrong with me. The problem is that we all have our ideas and thoughts about where we should be going, what we should be doing. And sometimes it's always that question that comes back in our mind. What is the will of God? What does he want me to be doing? It doesn't get any easier when we're adults now, right? We are constantly reevaluating, sometimes even looking at others and comparing our lives with others, going, hey, why don't I have this life? Or, hey, we are starting to compare and go, I wish that I could provide this for my kid like that person is providing. Or all of these things start flooding in. That's why we have something called a midlife crisis. But I wonder if we could look at life differently than we've ever have before. What if we could see our lives differently through the lens of Jesus' life? He was an example to all of us. What if the life we have today doesn't have to stay the way it is? What if we just need a different perspective? What if in the workplace, our marriage, our friendships, our parenting, and general life could look better and not just simply ask the question, well, what is your will, God? I want to be in your will. Because if you think about it this way, if God had the exact perfect woman that I was supposed to marry, and I didn't marry that exact woman that God said, nope, this is the perfect woman that you're supposed to marry, did I just mess up the whole entire system? Did I marry somebody else's perfect woman? I mean, we could just go around and start talking about all these different things, but what if God requires something different from us? I look in this scripture, and that's exactly what I see. I see that Jesus gives us an amazing example of what it would look like if we just said, no, I'm really not going to talk about what your will is. I'm just going to live life, and as things come along, I'm just going to ask you to help me out in them. And so if you're taking notes, we're going to start right on in, because I think that a lot of us, when we look at the gospel, we start to wonder, okay, so how does this affect our lives? What does this really mean? And so the question we ask is not, what is God's will, but how do we live out God's will? And we're going to get to God's will in just a little bit, but we need to do some steps before we can get there. And so the very first thing, if you're taking notes with me, is that we see Jesus pour out his heart. And so I want to know, do we pour out our hearts to God? I mean, I thought it was pretty fantastic that not only was it just once, but it was three times in this piece of scripture. He's constantly asking, God, would you take this cup from me? It wasn't that Jesus was sitting there going, God, is this your will? Should I be going to the cross? I don't know. You know, he already knew because he had spent plenty of time with God already. There's multiple occasions where Jesus leaves what he's doing and goes and spends time with God. And I honestly think that every single one of those times he's pouring out his heart to God. God, what are you doing? What are you asking me to do now? Where am I going next? And the whole entire way, all he was sitting there is doing, hey, just help me be who you've created me to be. Continue to walk with me, and whoever comes across my path, I will completely and listen to your spirit and do what you want me to do. I'm curious, does he have my heart, or do I just assume I have his ear? Hey, God, I'm going to go do this now, so I really want you to bless it. God, I'm going to do it, and you need to bless it, because otherwise it's not going to work. Instead of going, God, I feel you stepping me into this direction, and so, Lord, I in everywhere I'm going, I want to just follow your spirit. Does he have your heart? Brian made an interesting comment this week. He said, if you were to go and literally like interview everybody in your life, Seth, and ask them what's Seth's relationship with God like, and they were to go around and then you would fill up this book of what Seth's relationship with God is like from everybody else's perspective, and then you go to God and then you ask God, hey God, what's your relationship with Seth like? Would it be the exact same thing? Would God turn around and go, oh yeah, man, he has poured out his heart and he's allowed me to listen. And I've been allowed to talk to him. Would God say that our relationship with him, that we knew each other's hearts? Or would we just kind of come to this point that God goes, yeah, the certain moments, the catastrophic moments, events in their life, the death of somebody, when he wanted something, when he knew he was in trouble and just needed me to make things right again. I wonder if today we could leave and start pouring our hearts out to God. And then just sit back and listen for him. Just sit back and listen. God, I don't know what to do in this situation. Give me something. But I'm going to tell you that that comes with a cost. Because the second one is this. Is that how do we live out God's will? Is that we desire to be obedient to his ways. We desire to be obedient to his ways. Because I truly believe that as we pour out our hearts to God, he will speak to us. But sometimes I don't know if we're ready to listen. I don't know if we're ready to actually go, really? You want me to do that? So when faced with sin that might pop up into my life and not wanting to get rid of it, I may sit there and go, no, I'm just happy with where I'm at, thanks. Do I really desire to be obedient to him? Because Matthew says something incredibly crazy about how Jesus responded to Peter one day, and it's found in Matthew 16, 23 through 28, and this is what it says. Jesus turned to Peter. Jesus tells them, this is where I'm going. This is what's happening. And Peter goes, no, that's not going to happen. You're not going to do that. Don't do that. That's not how it's supposed to go. And Jesus says to him, get away from me, Satan. You are a dangerous trap to me. You are seeing things merely from a human point of view, not from God's. Then Jesus said to his disciples, if any one of you wants to be my follower, you must turn from your selfish ways and take up your cross and follow me. If you try to hang on to your life, you will lose it. But if you give up your life for my sake, you will save it. And what do you benefit if you gain the whole world but forfeit your soul or lose your own soul? Is anything worth more than your soul? Man, in those moments where we sit there and we listen to Jesus and we listen to the Holy Spirit and we listen to God say, hey, we need you to move in this direction. Man, it's maybe a point of where we need to be obedient. Because most of the time what just happens is we sit there and go, well, maybe I don't like that answer. I'll just wait for another answer from you. There's this book that I was reading. It's called God Guides, and a lot of you women got it from the conference that we had here, but I was reading in there one day that this is the lifestyle of this lady, this missionary in this book, and her lifestyle is that she just comes to God with a problem and waits for him to speak. And so one day she was talking about having the problem with this lady in the village that she was being a missionary with, and she just did not know how to repair the relationship with her. And so that day she just goes, God, I need you to tell me, how do I repair this relationship with this woman? And literally she sat there and she said, I waited and waited and waited, and nothing came to me until 45 minutes later I heard, take her two eggs. And she starts to fight with God, right? Like, no, that is not going to solve the problem in my relationship with this woman. And God still replied, take her two eggs. And so what did she do? She said, fine, I've learned to trust you. I'm going to take you two eggs. And so she walks over to this lady and gives her two eggs. And the woman broke down sobbing in front of her. She's like, this is what I needed in my recipe to feed my kids today. I wouldn't have been able to finish this and feed my kids if I didn't have these. And from then on, it was almost as if this woman just goes, wow, you actually really care for me. What would have happened if this lady actually didn't actually bring two eggs? Nah, God, you're crazy. I cannot do that. What would have happened, think of it this way, what would happen if Jesus just told God, no, I don't need to go to the cross. I don't want to. It's going to make me look bad. It's going to make me look horrible. People are going to say I'm disfigured, and then I'm going to die, and then they're going to bury me. That is not fun. I do not want to do it. You mean I have to go talk to that person? Are you kidding me? No way. I'm going to look silly. And Jesus answers it right all back to Peter with three things. If you want to be obedient to God, then here's what's going on. That you have to start thinking the things of God. Do you know what God really thinks about things? Or do you just assume that you know what he thinks because you've grown up in church, or possibly that it's just an idea you've heard once? Somebody's pounded it into your brain enough. But maybe do you really know what God says about certain things in your life? We cannot assume anything these days, but do we really dive into the depths of who God is? If he has our hearts, we would love to spend the time looking in his scripture and saying, this is a problem I have. God, I'm going to search you before anything else. And then he goes on to tell Peter that you need to deny yourself. You need to deny yourself. Or better put, you need to finally submit to his ways. And I was thinking about that this week of why. Why would we want to deny ourselves? Because I think the first thing is that we will always revert to selfishness. We will always revert to getting what we want. We will always revert to the child temper tantrum in our lives. And for me, I'm just going to let you know the best example I have for me in terms of like being able to glaringly see it is with food. I get this picture in my mind. My wife will ask me, well, what do you want to eat? And it's always Chinese food, just to let you know. With Seth Runner, it's always Chinese food. And so literally she'll be like, well, no, we're not going out to eat. And I'll be like, fine, I'll eat hamburger helper. No, we don't make hamburger helper. I don't know what burgers, right? And I'm like, fine. Literally, 3 weeks later, I will still want Chinese food. It's just crazy until I get it. Isn't that curious about those are things that we do with our life? We get mad at the things we can't have, or we know aren't right for us, or the sin that we're really actually trying to get rid of, but we kind of keep it around like a little pet. I can manage it. I can take care of it. It's okay. I think of it like this idea that you've always watched these circus artists. They kind of like spin the plates around. And it's almost like as long as we keep the plates floating, we're good. But then as soon as they start going haywire on us, everything goes to pots. Why do we deny ourselves? Because I'd rather submit to God's ways than try to do this juggling act of a whole bunch of plates spinning around and keeping everything going so that I get what I want in the process too. What does it look like? How do we do this? Maybe it's by listening to others in your life going, hey, have you noticed that you're actually really selfish? It took a while for me to realize that, right? Like one of the first fights that my, well, not really fights, but was around Chinese food in my family. I ordered two entrees. I didn't want to eat mine, so I ate my wife's. I mean, so I could save mine for later. I know, it's wrong. Chinese food, ugh. What about, but you know what my wife said is, hey, have you noticed this about yourself? What if others have been talking to you over and over again about sin going on in your life and you're just like, no, I got this handled. It's okay. I really don't deal with that. Or if somebody comes to you, you get really defensive and go, no, that's not the truth. What if in our relationships, when we look at denying ourselves first, what if in every relationship, when somebody came to talk to us, we assumed that they were right? Talk about denying yourself. Until, what if we assumed that they were right until kind of they went along and kind of showed us the truth and we were like, yeah, you're right. Or no, you're wrong after both working through, but really we just want to get angry and we have our own adult temper tantrums. How does denying yourself look in your marriage? You serve one another. You think of the other one first. Or do you just go, well, I'll do my duty until I'm done. Now it's your turn. Take over. Or is it really we're moving forward together? Are you thinking of others in the workplace? Or do you only get the bare minimum done? What about going the extra mile? Because you're moving forward, not just getting what you want to get out of it, but actually moving the whole entire business or your relationship with a friend forward instead of just being status quo. It looks like serving. Looks like being a comforter. Looks like being a healer. And it looks like encouraging one another's. It's not always having to be right, but allowing truth to reign in our relationships. It's not about being right. And the third thing that he says to Peter is this, is once after you deny yourself, would you just start to follow me? Would you just follow me? And this is how it happens, okay? It doesn't happen in the big, grandiose moments of our life. It literally happens in the daily, every single day, putting ourselves, submitting ourselves to Christ and saying, hey, how do I do this? That means we actually spend time in prayer and spend time reading, maybe spend time listening to sermons, listening to worship music, being inundated with who God is. I don't want to be just balancing act anymore. I don't want to just maintain status quo. In fact, actually, Romans 8, 12 through 13 says this. Therefore, dear brothers and sisters, you have no obligation to do what your sinful nature urges you to do. For if you live by what it dictates, you will die. But if through the power of the Spirit, you put to death the deeds of your sinful nature, you will live. Somebody said this to me a while ago that I just thought was crazy. Are you actively putting sin to death in your life? Are you actively every week going, God, I am dealing with this and I'm going to eradicate it? Or once again, are you just okay with the spinning plates? If I keep them going, nobody will notice, we'll be okay. Are you putting sin actively to death? Because we don't have to with Jesus Christ. We don't have to live with it anymore because he gives us the power. And that changes everything, actually. Do you want to know what God's will is to literally just keep on denying yourself, follow his ways in the daily as you're pouring out your heart to him. And the last thing is this, number three, if you're still taking notes with me and you're still with me, is we realize that our flesh is weak. We realize that our flesh is weak. There's this really great chapter, and I'm just going to have you write it in because I want you to do some work this week and read it, but Romans 7, 14 through 25. Romans 7, 14 through 25. And I love this piece of scripture because as Paul is writing it, he's literally talking about all the things he wants to do, but he doesn't do because of his sinful nature. And so look that up and read it because I would love you to spend time asking God this week. Man, I realize my flesh is weak and I need you in this area. John 15, 5 says it like this. He says, I am the vine, you are the branches. Those who remain in me and I in them will produce much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. You've heard this piece of scripture over and over again. But I wonder if we would let it start to sink in that apart from Christ, we're really doing nothing. We're not living in God's will. We're really actually not doing anything. We're just empty shells. And if we'd be stay attached to the vine, we actually are living out God's will. And lastly, what do our lives look like when this happens? Looks like Jesus. It looks like we start to deny ourselves, that we start thinking about the things of God, that we pour out our hearts with Him, and that we want to be obedient, and we know our flesh is weak, and we're constantly putting our sin to death, and we're asking, God, would you please be with me as I'm walking with you daily, and whatever comes my way, whether a new job prospect comes my way or whether you're moving somewhere else, it's not about those things. It's about me being who you've called me to be. That I would be the image of Jesus. Micah 6:8 says it like this. Know, O people, the Lord has told you what is good, and this is what he requires of you. To do what is right, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with your God. It's a phenomenal statement. The previous statements are, do you think God would be happy with you if you sacrificed a whole bunch of goats and cattle and sheep? Do you think that's what makes God happy? And he says, no, the Lord has told you what is good. And this is what he requires of you. Are you constantly denying yourself so that you can do what is right? Or are you just getting, or you just want to be the person that's right? Do you love to be merciful with people, or do you just want to get what you want to get? Are you walking humbly with God, or are you telling God what he's supposed to be doing for you? I think this is more of a sermon for me than it is for you, but I love the fact that Jesus is constantly calling us. Just like that scripture, or just like that worship song that we said, he's calling us and he's saying, it doesn't have to be this way. And I'm the one that gives hope. I'm the one that gives encouragement. Hey, just keep going. It's okay. You'll be all right. I've got you. You're okay. And then when we put ourselves in here, it's not really about, God, I'm so bad, I need your help. It literally becomes about, I am so excited to see what God has in store for me next. I'm so excited to walk with him and just kind of understand the peace that he has for me. You know, I love the piece of scripture that says that Jesus, for the joy set before him, went to die on the cross. Like, he wasn't doing it begrudgingly. He was actually doing it out of joy. Because his joy was, I want to do what God wants more than anything else. And so, hey, you can throw anything at me you want, world, but it's not going to matter. I've got God on my side. And every week I see more and more things going on in the news, and I think, man alive, I'm glad I am grounded in Jesus. I'm glad that I don't have to worry about anything because God has got it under control. And I'm telling you, I think that's the best place to be. The best place to be is just doing what this Bible is asking us to do. That God, I know that I'm not always going to do everything right, but I'm going to try my best because that's the greatest possible place I can be. It's been kind of crazy to me that in like 3 more weeks will be like my 1 year of being here as the pastor of this church. And I look back on the year and I go, oh my goodness. Could not have imagined where we'd be at today. Because it's amazing. We sit as pastors and we go, I can't believe they choose to still pay us. This is phenomenal. Because we get to love people. That's what God asks us to be as pastors. And he encourages everybody of us to be that way. He encourages you guys that you would just simply trust in him one more step and maybe be a follower of him. We talked about this a couple weeks, that are you being a disciple of Christ? Do you desire that? Do you desire the things of God? And if you do, hey, we're starting up some discipleship stuff that you can be with a small group and learn and grow. We desire as a church to be reaching people outside of just Glasgow, but in Valley County. And if you're a part of that, we're calling that the Judea Committee. And so if you want to see how is God working in places even outside of Glasgow, hey, come and talk to me. I would love to talk to you about those things, especially if you live outside of Glasgow. Just think that as we are just daily walking with God, it's not a question of, God, what is your will? It is a question of, God, what do I get to do today? No matter where I'm at, I will deny myself. I will think of the things of you. I will follow you. I will give you my heart. Because you need to guide it, because I can't. Let's pray. God, we love you because you are a good God. You've got everything under control, and all we have to do is walk in your goodness. Yeah, it's hard, but we can trust in you. It's difficult, but we know you have the way. So God, as we go about the rest of our week, would we learn to pour out our hearts to you so that we put ourselves in a position to hear from you? Would you help us to desire your commandments so that we might listen and that we might deny ourselves and we might submit to your ways? And that in that we would realize where our faults are so that we can be more like you over and over again. We thank you, Lord. Bless my Chinese food today. In your name we pray. Amen.